Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Michael Bruntz, joined by Brian Christofferson. Another busy week in Nebraska athletics. Nebraska basketball heading to Memphis for the NCAA tournament. We hit on that in the Husker 24/7 hoops cast earlier. And we're going to focus on football because spring football, believe it or not, gets rolling early next week. We heard from Matt Rhule. We'll get into some of his comments early on here. Also, Pro Day coming up on Wednesday. We'll kind of not get it too into the weeds with that, but kind of preview that and kind of who needs to run well. Pretty much everybody needs to run well. We all need to run well.
We're going to hear some 4-3s.
Might hear some 4-3s, maybe some 4-4s, not really sure. And then in the second segment, we'll talk a little AD search. Interim Nebraska president Chris Kerborick weighed in on the search earlier this week. We'll talk about that. And then Nebraska baseball, which just continues to absolutely bludgeon teams. We'll hit on that as well. So lots to cover today. Brian, where do we even start? I mean, it feels like Trev Alberts left Nebraska like a month ago with the way everything's kind of gone this week. But what's going on? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I think we have to start with Rhule's opening statement, which was 12 and a half minutes long.
The preamble. It was a preamble.
Yeah, that's probably more like it. You know what? He's really good at these crisis moments. Like, they're not completely comparable, but you think back to the fall. Like, he came in on a couple press conferences after weekend games. Remember when basically the whole running back room was deleted the one game? And everybody's like, wait, all those guys are out, like they're done for the year, you know? And he broke the news and then just kind of carried on. And by the end of it, you're like, all right, well, I guess they're just going to suit it up next week anyway. And they're going to get after it. And then he did that again with like the offensive line when there were like three injuries on 1 week. So he's pretty gifted at navigating, you know, publicly, like in how he talks about tough situations. This one might be the toughest. And I thought he struck a nice balance probably that was necessary to do in front of the microphone. And I'm not saying it wasn't genuine either, but it was necessary probably because there's so much like the temperature's so high, right, about Trev with some people. And he kind of brought it down a little bit and like said how he's a friend and complimented his work and said how he's a big thinker and like we need that type of big thinking. And he got that part out of it, which was good. But then he also, I thought, was moving it on to like what's next, you know, like there's opportunity here and this can be a great place. And maybe sometimes you do have these moments where you hit pause and you look at a few things like what can be better over here or how could this structure work even better. And he laid out sort of his idea of what, you know, it needs to look like maybe for the next athletic director coming in. So I think people are really waiting to hear from him on this one, knowing how valuable Ted Carter and Trev Alberts were in getting him here. And I know right now people feel a little snake bit because they thought Trev was going to be here a long time, but Rule definitely went out of his way unsolicited to say, this is where I'm setting up shop. You know, his wife, Julie, is literally setting up shop in town. His son's coming here, you know, to go to school. And he was basically saying, we wouldn't do all this stuff if we didn't believe in wanting to be here. And we're going to be here until you kick us out. So that was a big statement before any questions were even asked.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like what you needed to hear, like the kind of him going to bat for Nebraska in some ways. I mean, you needed to hear that. I mean, of course, coaches can leave, ADs can leave whenever they want. But for, you know, when you have somebody like Trev Alberts, an alum whose name is on the stadium up and leave, it's nice to hear from your head coach that, like, you know, he's invested in this place. And I thought too, you know, when he was asked after his opening statement, kind of what types of qualities he would want in an athletic director. And it was a little bit of like a call to another, kind of like another call to action. Like it wasn't necessarily like the, you know, this is what quarterbacks are costing nowadays, like he mm-hmm. had in the fall, which was also ended up being that. But it also was kind of a, there's a leadership vacuum around Nebraska athletics right now that like Matt Rhule is filling in a very big way. Mm-hmm. And I think he was kind of setting the parameters for whoever is going to be the next person in here. I mean, you know, I don't think anything he said was like, you know, earth shattering, but it was an opportunity to basically say, this is what this athletic department needs to make the case that Nebraska is a good job right now for an athletic director. And it is, I think, and we can get into that later, but it was very rarely do coaches kind of get that opportunity, and very rarely do coaches do it as eloquently as Matt Rhule did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I mean, more importantly than just like talking to your fan base almost in this way is, and I think this is kind of what you're hitting at, is talking to potential candidates.
Right.
And, you know, I think coupled with what Chris Kaborek, the interim president, would say later on the radio, I think there was definitely an effort, and again, perhaps genuine, to say it's not all in disarray here. Like, you need to get that across to people. Like, cause if there's this vagueness about why did this guy leave his alma mater? Like, what would make that happen? It's important for some people that are like Rhule and Kaborek to stand up and say, this thing can work. It can be aligned. It is aligned more than some of the speculation or whatever has been suggested. And I think Rhule was, probably effective in doing that. And of course, any AD that's looking in right now at Nebraska, you're looking at your coaches. And one of the things Nebraska has going for it right now is you would have to like the coaches you have. You know, I think for the most part, you would say like, okay, basketball is pretty settled with success is going more as people would desire. Football, you've got somebody up front who obviously can deliver like the talk he did yesterday, but also has built programs. And so that's going to look appealing. And then the factor in the Big Ten, I just think we'll get into this. I think it opens the door to some candidates who maybe 5 or 10 years ago would be tough to get, mm-hmm. but they might look and say, okay, there's a Big Ten or SEC opening. I'm interested a little bit in that. You know, because of it's a table you want to sit at right now. So I think Rhule, though, was critical in getting and being the voice that got the points across that this is a really good job and this can go places. And, you know, he did well at it, as you would expect.
Yeah. He hit on some football stuff as well yesterday. There was a little bit of football talk as well, believe it or not. It seems like the sense of urgency is higher around the program right now than it was at the end of last season. Like I think that there's an acknowledgement that they missed an opportunity in November with the way that they played. I think there's also genuine excitement over there around the way that they've built the roster. Because I he had some comment, just a throwaway line, that, you know, last year there was more of a discrepancy in the talent. They had high-end talent and guys that were a little bit lower skill-wise. And now he used the word parity, but I think that they really like what they've built so far and the guys that they have, at least on paper and in gym shorts. And now it's time to see what it looks like on the football field. Am I misreading that there seems to be confidence and not just like the spring, everybody's in the best shape of their life, you know, pitchers and catchers report type confidence?
No, he likes his, like, he likes how his team looks, I think. I think that's real. And I mean, he also knows that, like defensively, especially, they return a ton of guys like in key spots. I mean, Jamari Butler was up there, you know, at the mic, and you saw he's just like a no nonsense football dude. You know, like he's not going to spin a dramatic quote or anything like that. He's just, but like, he's a guy who produced last year, to the tune of being like the leader in sacks and TFLs. And, you'd expect he's going to even build on that. You got Ty Nash, Giff, Marquise Buford, who's an impressive leader. So that's just your defense. That side, you like a lot of the things there. And then I think they probably feel like they have found some of the pieces on offense, that can help with the leadership and getting that going, at least to be more in the middle of the pack this year, which would be huge. And Jamal Banks is a big guy like that. Like, you see him stand, man, he's a big dude. Like, you can see where he could be a real red zone threat, you know, and amongst other things. And he's very, like, you know, good. And like, you could tell, like, he would fit in well with a new team. And I liked how he was asked about being a mentor, but he said, yeah, I want to be that, but I want to learn. I can learn from other guys too. Mm-hmm. And so a guy like that just kind of meshes well. And then of course there's going to be the QB conversation, and you're only going to go as far sometimes as that QB play will take you, but we'll get to that when we do. And for right now, all those other pieces, I do think there's like a lot of optimism about how guys, are buying into, this is what we're asking of you in the winter to get ready for the spring. And they checked most of those boxes, it sounds like, in Rule's mind.
The second year through it, I mean, I think there's a lot more comfort too from the players' perspective of like what's being asked in the winter. Cause I mean, Nebraska under Rule does do things differently. I mean, they've got the mat drills, they do the team competitions. It's a little bit different, I think, than what the way that other programs do it. And I think going through it a second time, I think you guys are comfortable. They know how to work hard. They're like, they know what's expected. And I mean, Rule also had a line about, you know, we're giving them the gift of high expectations. I mean, I don't think that the one thing that's changed is I think they want to build on last year. I mean, that there's more competition, there's more intensity to things. You know, Rule said they're going to just play more football this spring, more scrimmaging, more reps for guys. And to your point about the quarterbacks, I mean, that kind of approach, I think you kind of have to do when you have Heinrich Harburg, who's still relatively young as a college quarterback, and two freshman scholarship quarterbacks. Like, those guys need to come out of the spring almost like worn out from the number of reps they get, and to be able to take that and have a strong summer.
You know, the thing we'll have to get to throughout the spring, I didn't think yesterday was a time for it. So I'm fine that it wasn't a talker, but is Harburg actually in those quarterbacks? I'll be brief on this, but I think there's an assumption, and I get it, that it's going to be Ryola's show from a lot of people. I'm curious as the spring goes on to like kind of test the waters or like ask those questions with Harburg, like, you know, like, not, is there a not so fast my friend component to this at all? I think you at least have to let that be a possibility until it's not. With Harburg and what like Glenn Thomas does with them, and if they want to let a young guy grow behind the scenes. I'm in the camp, I'll just say it, that thinks Ryle is going to start the opener. I think that's how it'll work itself out. But they haven't had a practice yet, so I think that's going to be like a storyline, just like Harburg and like how much of this could be a real battle. Could it go into fall camp and all that stuff? And he's got more experience and all that, so not something that needed to come up yesterday, but definitely something to watch as the practices get going.
Yeah. Well, they also kind of very casually dropped in that they've been working on Harburg with his elbow and how mm-hmm. getting his elbow up when he throws. Like,
yeah,
there were a few like kind of just very subtle asides that he had yesterday that I was like, oh, that's actually pretty, that's mm-hmm. noteworthy to me. Grant Brooks being 300 pounds for another is noteworthy to me, but anyways, maybe I was just like looking for anything that wasn't, you know, athletic director talk. Cause
that's all right though. I mean, I think people pretty soon are going to be looking for that or already are. So that I think you've got a company with that.
Did you take anything from the players? I mean, I thought Marquise Buford saying that he was never nervous about Tony White leaving, was interesting to me, but it seems like the defense, especially because of what you kind of rattled off about the number of guys that they have back with significant experience in the second year of a defense with the same language. I mean, are we talking about that enough? Because that's going to be, they're not going to surprise anybody this year, but I think you have the ability to take it to another level in some ways, just based on continuity and experience.
I think Jamari Butler, who doesn't go on long answers, which is good. It's a good quality that I could learn from.
I like your long answers.
Yeah, land the helicopter, buddy. You know, like he's good at just like, this is the point. He was asked about Tony White coming back and he said, not going to lie. And he kind of laughed like that was a big deal to him. Like you could tell like it meant a whole lot, and not surprising maybe to people, but Rule, of in an interview or two, I've also heard him say this. I think he loves his young coaches that are building, like your Dvoracek's and Evan Cooper, obviously is a guy he really trusts, and Terrence Knight and all that. But he did say this, like, it's a big deal to have them have that one more year. It could be more than that, but at least one more year where Tony gets to do his stuff. Here's how it works. Everybody should have such a great vibe from it, both players and coaches, or feel of it by the end of this season, if, you know, they're already getting there. But I think to what you're saying, do we talk about it enough? Like Tony White, like had he left or got the UCLA job, I would have been really happy for him. But let's not pretend that wouldn't have been like a big, like just question mark hovering. Not that you don't like these coaches and what they can do or believe in them, but I think Rule is right. Like give those guys one more year, you know, like, and then see where you're at if that's required. So it's a huge deal. And I think the players recognize that. And Buford, you can tell, is really close to Tony. So maybe he did have some inside information, but you never know what those things, like obviously a head coach is not going to share like with all his players. Like, yeah, I'm in the final two for UCLA or whatever. I don't think that's usually going
to
happen.
He's like having him pick out a tie for the interview. Like, not doing that.
And then he's like, cuts it. He's like, guess what? Not happening. I'm staying.
yeah, it's – well, and to your point, I mean, if – let's say Tony White moves on. I mean, you're – it completely changes the conversation of the spring. Also, I mean, you're – likely heading down the road of having a true freshman quarterback start for you. It's a heck of a lot easier to have that conversation with with defensive continuity, and that's that side of the ball being okay. Mm-hmm. Like, but you just got to focus all your energy over here.
And they also realize, Rule said this yesterday. He's like, we might have snuck up on some people last year, you know, with our scheme and the 3-3-5 and all that. And like, Tony White's stuff maybe is a little new to him. What Nebraska was doing. And his point was, that's not going to be the case this year. So you're going to have to go double down and earning it, basically. And I like the fact, you know, that Tony White is built this way. He's not going to be the type with those guys this spring, like, is dwelling on the fact, oh, you were top 10 in rushing defense and this and this and this. It's going to be the 5 to 7 things where, like, remember that drive against Maryland, you know, not like they're going to always go back and talk about it, but it's a stuff that didn't go well that they're going to be focusing in on. And you've got the same leader that can be that voice of like, I like you guys, but you can be better. Like, yeah. You know, you can be better, and makes you think that that bar can be way higher, and they can be too. Like, as good as that defense was, I'm going to write this week before spring ball, the areas that still left wanting, and there were some, and there were moments in that season where they were a good defense, but they didn't get that stop that would make you a great defense. Maryland was an example. Colorado, right after the long Jeff Sims run, where you don't get off the field there. Yep. You know, you could go through 3 games or so, or you could find a drive where you're like, didn't happen there. They played so great against Iowa. And then right. The last run, you know, you finally get gashed suddenly on one play when you can't have it, you know? So all that, this is the time of year to pick at stuff like, yeah, not good enough. And have that sort of attitude. And if you can instill that within your team and have them thinking that, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And we'll get 15 practices of it, concluding with the spring game on April 27th. Sift through all that, take a quick break. We'll come back we'll put Nebraska's AD job in a little context, talk okay. A little baseball. We'll take a quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
All right. The other thing going on right now, Nebraska is currently searching for its next athletic director. Dennis LeBlanc had a good first weekend as interim AD, I have to say. So congrats to him. But you listened to interim NU president Chris Kaborik on Sports Nightly, or I guess, does he have his own radio show as an interim? Do they give those to them? Or is it just like,
He's been on, this is probably important to say because they wanted it to be clear. He's been on pretty regularly since he's had that job. And I think before that, Carter did it. Of course, more people were listening in last night. But it was a predetermined, like, that he was supposed to be on.
Got it.
Last night, like a week, you know, like that was his scheduled time. And it just so happens, like, everything has gone
just lined up perfect.
So it worked out.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Rhule made a compelling case for the next AD and what's at Nebraska, and it being a strong job. And we kind of hit on it in the first segment. But to me, this time around, the job is significantly different than it's been in the past, in part because you had somebody leave of their own volition, right? Like, it's one thing if somebody gets fired, you know, the football program has been in shambles. You've had to, you know, there's fires everywhere. You're the guy walking in with the pizza and the living room's on fire. And it seems like there's a lot fewer of those types of things for whoever the next guy. It feels like you should be able to get a more attractive big name candidate to listen a little bit more easily than maybe in the past.
Yeah. And by the way, emphasize that point, because you've heard it, I've heard it, like Nebraska can't keep an AD. Nebraska has willingly wanted people to leave recently. So let's get that clear. Like, this was the first one in a long time.
Right.
Including, if we dare say it, the Osborne era, it was from above him, was, they wanted to go a different way at that time, it seems. But so that's been the story there. But yeah, I thought Kaborik last night kind of echoed what Rhule was saying. They were aligned on that, and he wanted, I think, to really make the point. And it's worth putting on the record, because there has been so much speculation. People can think what they want or go with whatever opinion, but there has been so much speculation. So his quote was, "Despite maybe some of the speculation going on in social media and media reports, we are aligned as a leadership team. I've been talking constantly with Coach Rhule. This is a fantastic opportunity." So that was his quote. Obviously, because there's been a lot of discussion about Regents and all this and that, and everybody's got an opinion. So that's what he said about it. Rhule, I would say, acted also as though, like, not everything's on fire. You know, he was wanting to get that point across. But the other thing that stood out from Kaborik last night was the amount of feedback. He said there's been tremendous response to the job. And, like, for instance, on Saturday, he was in Minneapolis. He went down, and I think this was important. LeBlanc, I think, was at the baseball game, right?
Yeah,
over the weekend. And Kaborik came to Minneapolis for hoops, and that's everything is going on there. And so he drove back Saturday night, got in at 2:30, and then at 6 a.m. they had some sort of interview or something with somebody, he said. So they're after it. I don't know all who's in on, like, hearing the discussions and all this stuff, but it sounds like Matt Rhule definitely is being phoned in on at least updates or something at some points of what's going on, which I think people kind of want
more than I think that would be wise. Like, I mean, we talked about last week. I mean, I think this would be a situation where I wouldn't always say that you would want your football coach involved, but I think Matt Rhule has a perspective on that stuff that I think would be a positive for the search. Is your sense that this is going to go on long? Like, I had initially kind of thought, like, okay, this might drag on a little bit because of everything with the NU president situation, but my sense is that this might actually get wrapped up a little bit sooner than maybe what I was initially expecting.
Yeah, I don't know on the timetable. He said, you know, obviously they'd like to go as quickly as possible, but you don't want to rush it, what you'd expect. I think there are some names that could be in play that wouldn't have been in play even 2 years ago because of the conference setup and Nebraska right now being in the Big Ten, and who knows where all the, you know, chairs are going to end up. But I mean, if you think about it, you could be at a post that, like, 2 or 3 years ago seemed pretty good, like in the Pac-12 or in the ACC. Heck, you could be running the ACC and now, like, think, like, maybe I want to look at something else. I don't know. You know, there, like, you could be, you know, North Carolina, like, is a powerhouse school, and, you know, but you're not in the two conferences that everybody's talking about or where it seems to be going. So I think I think there's some doors that have opened because of the shaky landscape of college athletics that actually can be beneficial to Nebraska in this search just because of the affiliation they have.
Yeah. Well, and I think Nebraska needs to aim a little bit higher too. I mean, I think given kind of the shaky landscape of college football, I think you would want somebody, we've talked about this off air, that you would want to have somebody that's been at those tables before and had those tough conversations and is willing to kind of be a little bit more elbows out when it comes to discussions about where Nebraska fits in the landscape currently. Like I think you need a little bit more of a forceful advocate in that way. I mean, I think Trev was to a degree. I mean, I think he was kind of rising in terms of the amount of volume his voice had, but I think this is a time when Nebraska can't necessarily have somebody who's like learning on the job, you know, like it feels like you're at a bit of a tipping point. And maybe there's somebody out there that just works, who's younger and,
yeah,
you know, is ready for that huge job. But it just feels like this is a situation where experience and like dialed in experience is really important.
I totally agree with you. There can be really good young or relatively young candidates that you, I think in the past might have considered, that I would maybe not be as quick to jump on at this moment. Even if you thought it would only take that person a year or two, cause they have such traits that you believe in that they could be respected in that amount of time, a year or two right now, is a lot. Like, yeah. you need somebody day one who I think like has everybody's like number in their phone, you know, like has already done that, and they're like a somebody that you know, Jamie Pollard's always an example. Like I mentioned North Carolina, like Bubba Cunningham. It's like people like that who just like, if you could get one of them, if you could swing that and bring in somebody like that, I think that's what Rule was getting at yesterday in his press conference too, to be honest. Like when he brought up, this was a very nutty specific example that's in our world right now, but Nebraska playing A&M in both games where the NCAA, whoever's on the committee gets a big chuckle about it. Stuff like that, you want to have a person who has that sort of voice or the sort of weight behind the scenes to maybe be like, wait, what's going on there? You know, like, and maybe can listen. Now that's an odd situation that came up because of what's happened, but his point's well taken. It's got to be somebody who, like, when they talk, people are like, I'm going to listen to that. Like, I respect this person because they've been doing it for 20 years and I've been in meetings with them before and I know what they're about. So it's got to be somebody who's still got the energy and isn't just riding into the sunset like Bill Moose was, certainly, yeah. But that's not what either of us is talking about. I know that.
Yeah. That's what I meant by dialed in.
Yeah, there you go.
yeah, I mean, that's kind of where they're. And you, I mean, like, what fires at Nebraska do you really have? I mean, you've got to figure out what you're going to do with the stadium project. I mean, my one concern would be, like, if you're going to keep going down that road, like, you've been there for a year and you're going to all of a sudden reseat people in Memorial Stadium. I mean, that's not a conversation I would want to have walking into a job in a first year, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that football program. You're not having to completely rebuild it like the last couple hires have had to do, or at least, you know, take it in a different direction. You know, there's small things that you have to do. I mean, you know, there's behind the scenes issues that have to be rectified and things like that, but it seems like it's in a, you know, for everything that people are saying about Trev Alberts now, I mean, the job is more attractive now than it was probably 2 years ago when he took over.
Yeah. There's a reason Texas A&M wanted him. He's a forward thinker. Like, you can be mad at him that he left and you thought he was more loyal than that. That's fine. And then the other, you can have the same conversation of like, you need that same sort of mindset of like, where is this actually headed? Trying to look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 even. And he was effective at that. He hired a good executive team, I think, and that's going to be key for whomever takes this job. And I think it was a pretty, I thought it was a closer athletic department under him where I at least got that sense. Maybe stuff will, you never know, things pop out sometimes, oh, it wasn't or whatever, but it seemed like it was much better on in that sense. And the coaches were pretty tight. So I do think it's an attractive job. And I think they, Nebraska has to show, there's certainly whoever is interviewing for it is going to ask, like, why did a guy leave his alma mater? And like, what's the deal here? What's really the story? Can you guys sort this out for me? And I need some good answers. So they got to be prepared, who's ever in on this, to be able to give those, because that's what even a numbnuts like me would want to know, Bruns. Like, what, you know, so one of the, some guy, person who's been around the block is definitely asking that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the piece about being forward thinking, I think is really important, given kind of where, I mean, basically year to year, how things are changing in college athletics. So, definitely something to watch there. We'll not go quite that far in the future, but, 24 hours in the future, we're going to have Nebraska players, former Nebraska players running some 40s, doing a little jumping, little lifting, things like that. It's pro day. Nobody got invited to the combine for Nebraska this year. This is the show for a lot of these guys. You talked to Omar Brown earlier this week. It's going to be important for him to run well. Quentin Newsom's probably in that group as well. Luke Reimer. What do you kind of make of this pro day? It's a little bit different. I mean, there's some guys that have to get some things done on Wednesday.
I don't think anybody's got an obvious path to, unless I'm blanking. Quentin, we heard from Rule, you know, he had that, was it a shoulder against Maryland, I think, late in the year, kind of played through it a bit. But it required attention after the season, and it sucks. It's one of those deals where it's like a guy who really has a shot, but the timing of your injury goes right into this, you know? And so hopefully he's ready to go. I guess I didn't understand completely if he was like going to be full go, but I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense on that?
No, it sounded like we'll see tomorrow. I mean, yeah. But it sounded like things were a little bit, his training for everything had been hampered by that.
Now, I'm sure Omar, they're going to wonder about his size and all that. I thought Omar had a great senior year on film. And honestly, it was one of the most valuable players on the defense. The way he came on and sort of people got to remember, like in the summer, there was talk of other people being in that position over him. And he went and took that job and played very well. One of the highest graded guys too on PFF, if people are into that sort of thing. But he has the film. So now he needs to put some numbers to it and give himself a shot. There's sort of like wild card candidates like Phelan Sanford, who like, I think Rule would tell those. And I think some NFL team will believe him and give him a free agent chance, you know, where they like get him into camp and, you know, those guys, remember that Cowboys used to have a guy for like 15 years. He went down and covered kicks and stuff like that. And he was sort of a legend. Like there are guys like that who sometimes emerge and sort of in the weeds, but sneaky for an NFL team would be Marco Ortiz, I think, as a long snapper. I think he might have as good a shot as anybody to do it. But guys need to really show out. Reimer. Who else is there?
Nori.
Yeah. They just need to have a big day, like in the numbers. And, you know, it's too bad nobody got a combine invite. But right now, it looks like sort of a quiet draft at this moment, unless they really make some stuff happen. So hopefully they do. But even with that, it could be tough. The good thing is Ty Robinson is not working out tomorrow at Pro Day. Bryce Benhart is not working out, you know, stuff like that. Like that, people got to remember that when the draft comes and everybody's like, oh, that stinks, you know, and they don't have anybody, at least be happy in some cases that didn't happen, because that means like two or three guys came back.
You got a bunch of 24-year-old dudes on your roster. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it probably helps a little bit too to have Rule as somebody that kind of going to bat for guys. I mean, you know, he's been in the room and stuff like that's happened. That obviously didn't go well in Carolina, but I mean, I'm sure just having that experience probably makes his voice a little bit louder over other college coaches if you're having to go to bat for a guy to get a second look.
Yeah, it can't hurt. So hopefully it goes well for guys. It's a tough event to cover sometimes because the numbers are a little hazy.
A little hazy.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a stopwatch.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people up there, like media. I usually do not partake. I'm not blaming anyone who does, but they'll sometimes do it on their phone. It's like, that's not an accurate time. We're not going with that.
A lot of 4.2s run.
Yeah. That day. Yeah. So, well, you might hear somebody ran a 4.34 tomorrow, but just a little caution with that if you see it.
Yeah. One thing that we are fairly sure about, Nebraska baseball still rolling. We'll get into that real quick here before we finish up.
Yeah.
They swept the Colonels of Nicholls State, which doesn't seem like on the surface that significant of a sweep. You know, Nicholls was in the 140s, I think, for RPI when the weekend started. Nebraska's a top five RPI team still, which still a little early, but you're starting to pay attention a little bit more. But a very good offense that Nebraska really kind of shut down, especially on Saturday and Sunday. Nebraska just wearing teams out at the plate. So they had their first five-game week last week. They went 4-1, dropped a road contest to Wichita State. But the bats and the lineup are starting to come alive a little bit. The bullpen, I think, is still a strength for this team. And another five-game week here with Omaha, North Dakota State, and three against New Mexico State, and then it's off to conference play after that. So the season's moving along, but I think we're starting to see that perhaps this is a good baseball team.
Mm-hmm. I've sensed that in your text. Like, you'll sneak in and it's like, I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, there's something different about this team. I mean, it's a mentally tough team. They've got veterans, you know, at most spots. And I think Nebraska, for the most part, to this point, has done a very good job of resetting things in their relief pitching. I mean, there's certainly question marks about, you know, what you're going to do on Sundays on the weekend. They still don't have a great handle, I don't think, on what they do if they have two midweek games. But as an example, I mean, this past weekend, they get to Sunday and they're still throwing guys out there that have been, you know, Division I closers in the past on Sunday, when that's typically when you're kind of going back through your bullpen, having to bring guys back a second time. And, you know, they really did a nice job against a lineup for Nicholls State that, I mean, they came in hitting .350 as a team on the weekend, and Nebraska largely handled their business. So, I'll be curious to see, as things kind of get into conference play, how this team kind of plays with expectation and how they play with a little bit of success, because I think it's a little bit of a, it's a dirtbag group. They're a group of grinders. That's the way they were put together, but there's going to be a lot of teams gunning for them once they get into the Big Ten.
They're ready to fight Grand Canyon a little bit.
They were ready to mix it up with Grand Canyon a little bit. You know, the other night, I don't know, like, you know how sometimes when you're in the midst of a season, there were moments like this for Nebraska basketball too, where like things just kind of go your way, you know, like on Friday against Nicholls State, really tight end of the game situation. Nicholls gets two guys on, they review a play that Nicholls is at bat. The runner at second base, who was called safe, is out. And tense moment, next pitch, guy from Nicholls just absolutely pisses on a ball to second base, but it hits it right at second baseman, double play, game over. Like those types of things, like I think when things are just kind of rolling, those things just kind of happen for you. And I don't know, like it's, there's no number for it, but it's just you notice those things. So we'll see. I mean, they've got a chance to continue stacking wins here, but I think they really like this team.
That would be fun. We could use. I get choked up thinking about it.
Yeah, man.
We could use those boys to like give us something in the summer. You know, into the early summer.
Think about this. Like, you basically went from like a moderately entertaining football team who gets a 5-star quarterback in December. You fend off every school in California that's trying to hire your defensive coordinator. You run right into basketball season, and your basketball team runs through the Big Ten play for the number 3 seed in the tournament. They make the tournament. We're like leading right up to spring ball. Like, spring ball starts on Monday, like fresh off of whatever happens in Memphis. Maybe they're still playing. Who knows? And then you roll right into a baseball team that's playing pretty well, you know, when spring football is over. Like, you basically have your first 6 months of 2024 planned right there.
Yeah, it hasn't been between the lines, which is what matters the most. It hasn't to fans. It hasn't been woe is me, really. I mean, yeah, November was disappointing. They didn't pull one of those out. And I think that got a little of that back in the air, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I think football's done a good job stabilizing there, where it's like, okay, that was year one's done, and that this guy does things in year two and three. Let's give it a look here. You're right with all those other sports, and then you throw in like wrestling at a fun. I mean, they were pretty competitive within the Big Ten, near the top of the best wrestling league, and Nash, of course, was a fun story within that. Track and field, I think, has done some stuff. You have women's soccer, like, does the best they've done in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They have definitely elevated their stock in a lot of different sports quite a bit in the last year. And so you do have to – sometimes it's all like, oh, typical Nebraska, like with, when the Alberts things happens. But there's been a lot of good things, really, that have been going up until then. So you got to weigh that out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have coverage of everything. We're heading to Memphis, cover a little basketball. Baseball's going on this weekend. Spring football starts next week, so you'll be saturated with that coverage. So make sure you get to Husker 24/7 for all your Husker coverage. Chat about it. Football recruiting visits are starting to ramp up too. April's going to be really busy for official visits leading up to the spring game. Well, you will have all of that there. So get to Husker 24/7. We'll be back at end of this week with some Husker Hoops casts and breaking everything down. So be sure to check that out.